How's everybody doing? You know, I know that some of you guys have been immersed in prayer over the last week about something really, really important. I wanted to give you guys a praise report. We held our turkey bowl on Thursday, our flag football game, and for the first time in 5 years, nobody got hurt. I wanted to thank the guys who helped put that together. The guys had a lot of fun. And so my name is Ken. I'm an associate pastor here. And welcome. Great to have you here on this Thanksgiving weekend. As a community, we've been studying Psalm 23. And Troy will be back next weekend to continue that series. But today, we're going to take a break to think about what we're thinking about. But before we do, let's pray. Would you guys join me? Father, may we honor you, not just with our words and actions, but our thoughts and feelings as well. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Well, a little over a year ago, I had a day where I knew that my thinking had changed, and I was pretty sure that I didn't like it. I have been a football fan since I was about 10 years old. I was brought up cheering for the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame.
Go Irish.
Go Irish! Go Irish! We're a little depressed about last night's result. But anyways, my parents were Notre Dame fans. My brothers are Notre Dame fans. If I could help it, my wife and kids will be Notre Dame fans. You know, I've also been a Denver Bronco fan for about 30 years. And cheering for my favorite football teams has always been simple. You cheer for your players and you cheer against the opponents. You cheer that your team will win. And at the end of the contest, if you do win, you celebrate. And if you lose, you grieve, right? It's pretty simple. You know, I didn't really care how my team won. Touchdown passes by Peyton Manning, field goals or pick sixes, just win. That's all I really cared about. But why keep it simple? Why keep it simple? Last year, I got into something new, last season, something I didn't understand, something that changed the way that I thought, something that made fandom more complex. How many of you guys play fantasy football? If you don't start. It'll mess with your mind. You know, if you're not familiar with the concept of the game, here's how it works. Your league holds a draft. You select players that you think will perform best from teams throughout the NFL. And consequently, after you've drafted your team, you may have players from 10 different teams throughout the NFL. Well, I got into this not really knowing what I was doing, but in about week 4 last year, I was playing my friend Rob Harder, and Rob's a huge Broncos fan as well, and he'd drafted Peyton Manning and Demaryius Thomas, one of their receivers. He had both of those players on their team. One afternoon, I head home after church to watch my beloved Broncos. I sit down on the couch. I've got a snack. I'm excited about the game. And as the game starts to unfold, it dawns on me, kind of like headlights getting brighter and brighter from an oncoming car. Rob has Peyton Manning and Demaryius Thomas. And if they do good, the Broncos will win the game. But if they do good, I'm going to lose in fantasy football. Unbelievable. I find myself cheering for the Broncos to win, but grimacing every time Peyton Manning throws a touchdown pass. I'm totally conflicted. I've got a gnawing in my gut. I mean, I'm physically going through pain, and I realize that watching an NFL football game will never, ever be the same again. And I just think to myself, this ain't right. It's just not right. You know, earlier this season, my wife and I are watching the Broncos play the Vikings, which happens to be her favorite team. I'm obviously cheering for the Broncos, but not obnoxiously, right? Happy wife, happy life. There's a time and a place, guys. Just tone it down. But I've got Adrian Peterson on my team who happens to play for the Vikings. Well, late in the game, the Broncos are up by about 10 points, and Adrian Peterson busts through the line for a 48-yard touchdown, and I start cheering. And my wife looks at me and she says, "You are not allowed to cheer for the Vikings." Fantasy football has made football complicated. It changed the way I thought about football. Not necessarily for the betterment of my soul, but I had a new way of thinking. So have you paid attention to what's going on in your mind? Do you give much thought to how you think? Today, I encourage you to think about what you're thinking about. What are the thoughts that are occupying your mind? In many ways, we're a product of our thoughts. What are you thinking about right now? What's on your mind today? You need to get the oil changed or maybe get your Christmas shopping started. Maybe you've got a pending sales proposal that you really, really hope will go through. Maybe you're thinking about the relatives that just visited over the holiday weekend or the girl you saw when you walked in. Maybe you're thinking about your fantasy football lineup right now. Well, our minds are full of a constant flow of thoughts. Some are of little consequence, but some can have huge implications. Many of them are, whether we realize it or not, life-altering thoughts, for better or for worse. What's on your mind affects how you live. So what's on your mind these days? With it being Thanksgiving, maybe you've been given a lot of thought to the things that you're grateful for. You know, the blessings you have, the good in your life. And you found yourself being a little bit more content, maybe even satisfied. You know, maybe you've been thinking about God's amazing grace, His love, His goodness, His forgiveness. And you found it's a little bit easier to be patient, a little easier to love others, to overlook bad attitudes and inconveniences. But what if your thoughts have been consumed by greed? You see her job or his house and you wish they were yours. You know, you think, if only I could land the sale or get the raise, make a little more money or a lot more money. And maybe you find yourself feeling dissatisfied, maybe even insecure. Or perhaps your thoughts have been filled with worry. What if my kids don't make friends? What if we can't pay the bills? What if they don't think I'm smart? What if I can't get the project done in time? So what's on your mind? What are you thinking about? You know, many of us think that we can't help what we think about, but that's not true. We've developed habits, ways of thinking. Dallas Willard says, mature human beings will be very careful about what they allow their minds to dwell on or allow themselves to feel. What are you dwelling on? What's swimming around in your mind? In his letter to the church in Rome, the Apostle Paul writes this, Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Do not allow your life to be molded by this world. Do not allow the world to dictate how you think and act and feel. The word that Paul uses here for world is often translated age, indicating the temporariness of the world as well. This is not how things will always be. You know, whatever you're going through, it's only a temporary season. It may feel long, but it won't last forever. You know, a lot of Christians have also used this verse, do not conform to the pattern of this world, to justify isolating themselves from the world. But Paul doesn't suggest that, but rather to not allow the patterns of this world drive the ways you think, the way you act. Reality is that we all have messages coming into our heads. You know, our parents influence how we think about treating others, about our career goals, about success in sports, our attitudes towards serving one another, for better or for worse. Our friends affect our opinions about how our outward appearance should be and how we should strive to look. Our teachers impact the way we think. Advertising attempts to drive our desires to have the shiny new object or to even think that we deserve this sparkly thing. You know, which messages do you allow in? Which messages shape how you think? The Apostle Peter talks about conforming. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14. Peter writes, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. My immediate reaction to this verse is he's calling me ignorant. But that wasn't the point that Peter was trying to make. He wasn't He wasn't trying to insult me, nor was he trying to insult his original audience. He was referring to a time when these folks knew less about the ways of Christ. You know, as I reflect back on my life, there are seasons where I thought a whole lot differently than I do now. Seasons that I'm not proud of. I had a different way of thinking then. I was ignorant about the value of human beings in God's eyes. About loving others more than myself, about giving being better than receiving. I had seasons of my life when I looked at relationships to fulfill my needs, my friendship needs, my social needs, my sexual needs. You know, my career was about getting to the top, making myself look good, hitting numbers, even if it meant hurting someone. Well, back to Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He doesn't say, be transformed by the renewing of your behavior. Life transformation takes place as your mind is renewed. The word mind includes thoughts, feelings, and attitudes. God's plan is not to simply get you to obey a list of rules and regulations, because that doesn't work. I don't know how many of you have tried that, but it just doesn't work. On the contrary, God intends to shape you from the inside out. So your thoughts and feelings determine your actions. Christians often get that backwards, and we wonder why we continue to blow it. You know, the good news is that we're not in this alone. Paul lets us know we have a partner, a guide in being transformed. This verb for be transformed is in the passive voice, which means someone or something else is actually doing the transforming, and that would be God. It's God who transforms us. And additionally, the verb implies that it's in cooperation with Him. Well, then Paul continues his thought. And he says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Do you want to live a life that's holy and pleasing to God? You know, a renewed mind will allow you to live that way on autopilot. So let's take an inventory. Let's think about what you're thinking about. What are the thoughts that fill your mind through the week? What are the things that you train your brain on? At the conclusion of Paul's letter to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, he writes this, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think about such things. I like this idea a lot, of thinking about good things. After stuffing this sentence with clause after clause of good things, Paul says, think about these things. Let your mind dwell on whatever is true, noble, right, pure. He wants us to reflect on whatever is true. But some of us have... we fail the whatever is true test, don't we? Do you have lies living in your mind? Here's some popular examples. I'm worthless. I'm a failure. God couldn't love me. I'll never change. There's no hope. You know, a lot of us have bought into these thoughts. A lot of us live in that space. You know, a few years back, I was at a Bravenal Hall at a concert/teaching thing. It was Chris Tomlin, who's a worship pastor, and then Louis Giglio was the teacher. And I'm at this event, and I don't even remember exactly what was said that particular night, but as I'm sitting there and I'm listening and Louis's teaching, I remember having this image of like an angel on one shoulder and the devil on the other, kind of an Animal House-ish moment where they're both whispering into my ear. And the question was posed by Louis, who are you listening to? And in that moment, I realized that I'd been giving a lot more credence and value to the lies of Satan. I'd been believing that I wasn't worthy, that I was a failure, that I'd never change. And in that moment, I decided I was going to quit giving those lies so much power. And I was going to stop listening to the lies and start listening to God. What if you and I regularly filled our minds with some of the great truths of Scripture? The Lord is with you. Or if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's 1 John 1:9. Or what about Ephesians 2? We are God's workmanship. I'm God's work of art. I'm God's masterpiece. How will that influence your self-esteem if that's what you are dwelling on? Or what if in a time of uncertainty, you pondered the proverb, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. How will that affect your habits of fear and fretting? Then Paul says, whatever is true, and then whatever is noble. You know, Paul wants us to reflect on people and things that are worthy of respect. You'll consider the couple that stuck together through thick and thin. Or maybe think about the spouse who couldn't make it work out, but still treated her ex with love and respect. Or the man of integrity who'd given his life to God and hasn't taken it back. Actually think about their lives and see how those thoughts affect yours. Then Paul says, whatever is right. Whatever's right. Another word for this is just. If something is going right, it reflects the rule and reign of a just God. Paul says, think about the world working right. Think about people making it right. And think about how you can help make it right. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure. Are your thoughts pure? Would you want to put your thoughts on this big screen right now? You know, when we think of impure thoughts, we usually think first about lust. And some of us struggle with the grip of lust. You know, when your mind goes into neutral, your thoughts turn to lust. And you can't escape it. And some of you don't want to. But let's be honest. Even when you do, you can't seem to help yourself. Because the thoughts are ingrained in your brain. What if you could be free? What if you could be transformed? What if you could have a renewed mind? But lust is not the only culprit of impurity. The word that Paul uses for pure means blameless, and it's not limited to lust. What about bitterness? What about struggle with bitterness? One Christmas, with my family back in the Midwest, 17 of us were gathered to have Christmas dinner, the Christmas feast at lunch. Well, it's dinner back there. Supper, dinner and supper. All you Midwesterners know dinner is lunch. So dinner is lunch, okay? We tracking? At noon, you have dinner in the Midwest. Okay. Just saying. So we're about to have dinner, and the announcement comes. Everyone, come and sit down. It's time for dinner. And I had a 2-year-old, and I start hurriedly trying to get her ready for dinner over at the kids' table. You know, I think I'm helping out. I think I'm possibly in line for Daddy of the Year award right now because I'm helping the little kid get ready. And a couple moments later, I get barked at. Ken, come on. It's time to sit down for dinner. Oh, did I get mad. The hackles raise on the back of my neck. I get defensive. I get embarrassed. I get angry. It's all happening on the inside. Nobody can tell from the outside, but I'm mad. And I was a pastor at the time, and frequently at family gatherings, I'll be asked to pray before the meal, and I am tweaked. I'm bitter at this moment. And I remember my adrenaline flowing and clearly thinking, do not ask me to pray for this meal. Because if you do, I may curse Christmas dinner. Well, I make it through the meal, and afterwards I discreetly exit the house and head down the snow-packed dirt road. And I'm just seething, and I get about a mile down the road, and I'm thinking about why I'm so angry and, you know, this exchange that had happened. And at that point in time, I start to reflect on an old Keith Green song that was originally penned by King David after his moral failure with Bathsheba. And part of the lyrics say this, Psalm 51:10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." And I just kept saying that to myself, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." I was actually singing it, but I will not do that to you, okay? And over the course of the walk, I could sense the Spirit of God calming me down, putting forgiveness and love in my heart, and renewing a right spirit within me. Now, if bitterness is an issue for you, Jesus said, "Love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you." Think about what you're thinking about. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, and then whatever is lovely and whatever is admirable. You know, this is the only two times that these words are used in the Bible, and he's talking about beauty here. And be careful not to over-spiritualize these words. While there are surely facets of God and faith that are lovely and agreeable, these words aren't limited to religious spheres. You know, think about the beauty of a sunset, or the beauty of a kind or generous act by a person, or the magnificence of a cathedral. You know, these are lovely and admirable things that we might dwell on. But some of us, we focus, or we struggle, we have trouble focusing on the lovely. In fact, we have a habit of dwelling on the unlovely. Are you more prone to think about the good qualities of your husband or the bad? Do you dwell on the positive traits of people around you? Or do you find yourself pondering their stupidity in the office or on the highway? Well, let's return to Romans 12. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Paul uses the present tense here, and he's talking about renewing. And what he means, or what he recommends, is a continual process of renewal in our minds. You know, that's a kind of a day-to-day thing. And sometimes, I don't know about you guys, but I get so discouraged sometimes with the slowness of my transformation. I'm like, why does it take me so long to become more loving? Why does it take me so long to be more patient, to be more forgiving? And sometimes we want to be microwaved or something, right? It's like we want it to happen instantly. But the fact that it takes a while is actually what makes it stick. You know, it's going through those seasons where things are really hard that God does his work in us, and we start to come out the other side of that. And he says that it's going to take a while. He says that it's a daily renewal. And sometimes I get discouraged by the slowness of my transformation. But my ability, or when I say my transformation, it's my ability to see as God sees and to love as God loves. And it's an ongoing process. And every day, engagement with God. And Paul encourages the church at Corinth. He writes this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. He says, "Therefore, do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day." You know, if you've been battling to think differently, to focus on those things that are excellent and praiseworthy, things that'll lift your soul or steady your resolve, you're encouraged. Do not lose heart. We're being renewed day by day. Bible scholar N.T. Wright says it this way: the key to it all is the transforming of the mind. Many Christians in today's world never come to terms with this. They hope they'll be able to live up to something like Christian standards while still thinking the way the rest of the world thinks. It can't be done. Having the mind renewed by the persuasion of the Spirit is the vital start of that true human living, which is God's loving will for all His children. So how do we connect with the Spirit? How do we allow God to renew our minds. Why don't you think about what you're thinking about? Where's your mind going every day? What are the things that you're focusing on? What are the things that you're listening to? You know, with your mind renewed, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. You know, if you want to try to kick your obsession with lust, don't try harder. Grow closer. And we do things that bring us closer to God. He works in us to shape and mold us. So why not give special attention to your thoughts and feelings this week? You know, when you wake up in the morning, think about what you're thinking about. Some people wake up in the morning and they say, "Good morning, Lord." You know, they're excited about the morning. Others wake up in the morning and say, "Good Lord, it's morning." So what about your mornings? You know, when the alarm goes off, what's your first thought? "I can't believe all I have to do." When you jump in the shower, what are you thinking? "I need more hours in the day." Or in your commute to the office, are you thinking, "I wish I would have stayed in bed"? What if you could recalibrate your thinking by leaning on God? This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. You know, at Capital, we generally offer homework each week, practical steps to help you grow closer to Christ and to grow in whatever area that God is prodding you. And it's never mandatory, but if it will help, by all means do it. And in terms of thinking about what you're thinking about, there's some spiritual disciplines that can be incredibly helpful. What if every morning, before your feet hit the floor, you recited Psalm 23, which we've been studying for the past few weeks? Psalm 23:1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." You know, as Troy said a few weeks ago, "God will give me everything I need to do everything He asks of me." What if that was your first thought in the morning? You know, another great way to start your day is by reciting the Lord's Prayer. What impact would it have if you started your day by reflecting on what Jesus told His disciples to pray? Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 and 10 says, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven." You know, what if we could approach each day pulling for the kingdom of God and confident that He's in control? And then verse 11 reads, "Give us this day our daily bread." You know, give me, God, what I need to get through today. What if you lived like you believed He would do that? And then verse 12, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." You know, what if we started the day knowing that we're forgiven, knowing that we're in right standing with God and that we're loved, and we started the day ready to offer forgiveness to those who will hurt us? Well, then verse 13, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." You know, what if you asked Him to do that every morning? What if you asked Him to do that with your specific struggle, your temper, your lust, your pride, your greed, or maybe it's just your self-deprecation, and you say, "God, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil." You know, don't be a prisoner to your anxiety. Don't allow bitterness to poison your soul anymore. Think about what you're thinking about. Many of us spend hours in the car each week commuting to and from places, and others of you spend hours on the trail and some at the gym working out. What if you used your drive time or workout time to think about God and His promises? You know, I spend hours listening to sports radio or Christmas music or country music. Don't judge me. And sometimes that's exactly what I need, right? To just disengage and just listen to something that's kind of mindless. But this can be an incredibly valuable time to recalibrate our thinking. And here's a couple options. One thing is, music can lift your soul. Over the years, I don't know how many times I've turned to one of the Christian radio stations here and just listen to some of the worship songs. And God has lifted my soul through those, recalibrated my thinking, got me focusing on things that are excellent and praiseworthy instead of harmful and awful or just busy and discouraging. Another great way to invite God to speak to you, speak into your lives, is through listening to the Bible. And I don't know if you guys realize it, but audio versions of the Bible are available absolutely free online from the YouVersion app. And you can download this Bible free right onto your phone and listen at your convenience. It's available in tons of languages and whatever your preferred translation is. And you can download it right onto your phone and listen to it anytime you want. Think about if you spent time just listening to God's words, to His promises, to His instruction, and you allowed Him to speak into your life that way. You know, another great option for your commute or workout time is podcasts from iTunes. You can listen to the messages from this church or other great pastors throughout the country. You can listen to sermons while you're driving or you're working out or you're on a walk. However, the very best thing for you might be to just turn it off and to be quiet with God. I've been amazed at how sometimes I'll be driving and I'm listening to stuff and I've got it going. I'll just turn the radio off and be quiet. And God will use that time, whether it's to put somebody on my mind or make me think about some way that I need to change or way to encourage me. And sometimes that can be some of the most precious time. And we have so much busyness in our minds, so much stuff flooding into our heads. And some of us just need to get quiet. Don't take the iPod on the walk or the run one time and see what God does with that time. Turn off the radio on the drive. So those are some different things that you could do. Now, if you're going to choose one verse to spend some time with, this could be a good one for you. It's Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. We just went through it. And it says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Maybe this is a verse you commit to memory, or you just mull it over for a few days and see what God does with that. Let's pray. Father, we have so many things coming into our minds on a daily basis. Some of us have things that are really, really major struggles, God. Habits or addictions that we haven't been able to beat, or ways of thinking that we know harms our families and friends, Lord. And we're stuck in a spot that we can't seem to pull ourselves out of, Lord. For those folks, Lord, I pray that however you need to invade the space of their mind, whatever promises they need to know, whatever they need to know about the ability to be forgiven and loved, whatever they need to know about a better way of life, God, I pray you would put that in their mind. And for many of us, God, it's just maybe we've kind of been on autopilot lately. And we do need some sort of regeneration. And we need to have our mind renewed on a daily basis. Father, I pray that we'd be just kind of prompted towards the things that you would want us to do in that way so that we can allow you to be primary in our thinking. We can invite you in and allow you to guide us and change us and build us up. Lord, I'm so grateful for your love. I'm so grateful for your desire for us to know how much we're cared for, how readily you want to forgive us, and how you want us thinking about things that are excellent and praiseworthy. And I pray that that would be something that happens for each and every one of us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you guys, please stand. The homework and graphics from this message will be available in our online bulletin or on social media. So if you'd like, check those out. If you are in a space where you would like somebody to just pray for you, we have a team of folks available after the service here. I think a lot of us have stuff that we're struggling with in our heads. And maybe you just want to come up here and talk to one of these folks and ask them to pray for you, to bring it to God, to give you different ways of thinking, better ways of just focusing on Him and His love. For all of you, may you think about what you're thinking about, and may those thoughts be pleasing to God. Thanks for being here, guys. Grace and peace.